NBC News in Paris with preliminaries prior to the signing of the second Vietnam peace treaty. Now let's go to Paris.
South Vietnam, the Viet Cong. Secretary Rogers has just entered the conference hall. The foreign minister of North Vietnam is also in the conference hall. The foreign minister is reaching to sign his signature on an agreement very similar to the one they signed earlier today. Secretary Rogers nods solemnly across the table and writes William P. Rogers. He will, by the time the day is over, write his name 72 times, as will the foreign minister of North Vietnam, Nguyen Trinh. So now the beginning of the signing of these documents that will end the war, end the fighting, at least for the time being, in South Vietnam. The room is a large, very ornate room decorated in green and gold, huge tapestries, huge chandeliers, newsmen standing in designated places on each end of the room, French television recording the event live, Secretary Rogers still signing, Foreign Minister Trinh still signing, both expressionless. They're signing a second time because the text of the agreement does not specifically mention either the government of South Vietnam or the Provisional Revolutionary Government of South Vietnam, the Viet Cong. Only, it says, its only references are to the two South Vietnamese parties. This is because the two sides do not recognize the legality of each other. President Tu had said consistently that he would not sign any document, or his government would not sign any document on which the signature of the PRG, the Provisional Revolutionary Government, appears. So all four parties this morning signed the agreement on two separate pieces of paper, the U.S. and South Vietnam on one side, the Viet Cong and North Vietnam on the other. Then in the afternoon, this afternoon, as they are doing now, they are signing the same agreement with a preamble and a concluding paragraph, which says these documents are being signed with the concurrence of their respective allies, and the agreement and protocols to it shall be strictly implemented by all the parties concerned. As I said before, it was very quiet outside this afternoon, in contrast to what was out there this morning. The huge crowds. Here's a report from NBC News correspondent Don North.
In marked contrast to the noisy flag-waving demonstrations seen here on the Avenue Kléber this morning when the delegates arrived for the first signing ceremony, the avenue here in front of the Hotel Majestic is virtually deserted this afternoon. There are many more policemen than there are spectators. About 2,000 youthful demonstrators, many of them Vietnamese exiles living here in Paris, were gathered here this morning chanting anti-American slogans and booing both the American and South Vietnamese delegations. They were waving Viet Cong and North Vietnamese flags. The demonstrations prompted South Vietnam's foreign minister, Tran Van Lam, to personally protest to the French foreign minister, Maurice Schumann. Lam said he was surprised the French allowed what he called a pro-communist demonstration. Lam said the demonstrations disturbed the serenity of the signing ceremony. We don't know if the French police have taken any steps to deter the demonstrators this afternoon, but certainly the scene here in front of the Hotel Majestic is very serene. Now, with only Secretary of State Rogers and North Vietnam's Foreign Minister Nguyen Duy Trinh left to take part in the second and final signing ceremony, the crowd appears to have lost interest. That's the scene here on the Avenue Kléber, an anti-climax somewhat to the years of fighting and negotiations seen here at this grand old majestic hotel. Don North, NBC News on the Avenue Kléber, Paris. Once again, Secretary of State William Rogers, sitting across that large, round negotiating table from North Vietnam's Foreign Minister Nguyen Doi Trinh, the two men in the midst of the second of two signing ceremonies bringing to an official end the war in Vietnam. Now the question arises, what of future U.S. involvement in Indochina? What will our role be there in the years ahead? Some thoughts on this from Alvin Rosenfeld in Washington.
There are three separate elements. First of all, the U.S. is pledged to continue to supply military equipment to South Vietnam. The agreement says that military equipment on either side can be replaced on a one-for-one basis as military hardware wears out. Obviously, military hardware in the South inevitably will wear out. We are committed to that. The U.S. is certainly not going to abandon its South Vietnam ally. There will continue to be economic aid to the South. The most important element, of course, is the question of will the U.S. support, give economic aid to North Vietnam? The agreement states very clearly that the U.S. will contribute to healing the wounds of war and to post-war reconstruction of all of Indochina. We don't know exactly what that means. President Nixon last year did speak of an involvement of $7.5 billion over a five-year period for reconstruction in all of Indochina, including up to $2.5 billion for the North. Henry Kissinger says there is no commitment, no specific commitment, no specific promise, and he has also said that this question of economic aid to the North would be discussed only when the agreement is in an advanced stage of implementation. That obviously means that the U.S. wants to see first whether the North will indeed respect the agreement. It's kind of the carrot end of the carrot and stick approach.
Once again, the signing continuing in the International Conference Center at the Majestic Hotel. The Secretary of State, William Rogers, and North Vietnam's Foreign Minister, Nguyen Doi Trinh, signing the ceasefire agreement, officially called the Agreement on Ending the War and Restoring Peace in Vietnam, plus four protocols or side agreements outlining rules and procedures for carrying the principal agreement through and placing it in effect. The protocols on clearing sea mines, on the ceasefire, on the control commission, and on the return of prisoners. Let's go back to the scene now. Here's Charles Quinn.
The signing is continuing. This agreement, incidentally, was hammered out by Henry Kissinger and Lê Duc Tho over 3.5 years of hard bargaining. They met here in Paris privately 24 times for a total of 45 days. They are not here today. Only the foreign ministers of the countries involved. Don North spent many years in Vietnam. Three, that's many. Don, what is in your mind right now in terms of watching this very calm signing here in Paris and what you saw in Vietnam?
Chuck, certainly the war in Vietnam, the mud, the blood, and the suffering that many of us saw there seems very far away from Paris. And this signing ceremony here in the posh atmosphere of this elegant old hotel, the very stiff protocol being observed here today, and the delegates, expressionless as they are, and with their little self-conscious waves to newsmen, it all seems such a paradox when you think that even at this moment in Vietnam, the fighting appears to be raging right up to within minutes of the ceasefire. Latest reports that we have in Paris describe the fighting as very heavy across the country. The emphasis of the attacks apparently are against Saigon government positions in Tay Ninh, an important provincial capital that's about 30 miles northwest of Saigon. It's perhaps significant, Chuck, that the Viet Cong chose Tay Ninh for their final big push. Tay Ninh is the center of the Cao Dai sect, a group of Buddhists who also combine elements of Confucianism in their religion. The Cao Dai are very important in that they control many areas of the Mekong Delta area, which is the most populated area of South Vietnam. But many observers in Vietnam, although the Cao Dai have generally supported the Saigon government, believe that with a ceasefire situation, their loyalty may come into question. So this
This could account for the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese last-minute efforts to seize this very important provincial capital of Tay Ninh.
The signing continues, Don. The two major compromises in the agreement involve two in the North Vietnamese forces in South Vietnam. The communists, all through the years of negotiations, which began in this hotel in May of 1968, had always insisted that two must go, but two stayed. For his part, Tu has insisted and demanded throughout those years that any final settlement must include the withdrawal of Hanoi's troops from Saigon. Saigon says 300,000. U.S. estimates are 145,000. But the agreement does not call for withdrawal of North Vietnamese troops. Like Tu, they stay. They now control an estimated half to two-thirds of the land of South Vietnam, although only 10% of the population of 18 million people. Tu's army, incidentally, is 1 million men. We don't know how long this ceremony will continue. Mr. Rogers is waiting for still another document. Mr. Trim seems to be finished. He's sitting very quietly with his hands folded. For the most part, there have been very few smiles here in Paris. It has all been very sober, very somber.
Secretary of State Rogers still signing some of the many documents using dozens of pens, each pen with its own special historic significance as this second of two signing ceremonies continues. All the attention here today is on the war in Vietnam. Now, it appears the signing is over. Let's go back to the Majestic Hotel. Charles Quinn.
The various delegates are on their feet. The signing is over. Secretary Rogers is leaving. Dan Thuy, one of the North Vietnamese delegates, is smiling. The North Vietnamese waved very briefly when they got to their feet. So, at any rate, here in Paris, the ceremony is done. Perhaps there'll be one last sip of champagne, one final toast, before Secretary Rogers returns to America within the hour with the agreements under his arm, agreements which end what President Nixon called America's longest and most difficult war. This is Charles Quinn with Don North, NBC News, Paris.
And so the signing ceremony concludes. There were smiles across the conference table by Secretary of State Rogers and North Vietnam's Foreign Minister Nguyen Doi Trinh, unlike the earlier ceremony in which the participants entered the conference room with no smiles, no comments, no words to each other, affixed their signatures and left. This, again, the second of the two ceremonies, involved only the United States and North Vietnam, and the many documents covering the end of the war in Vietnam have now gone into the safekeeping of all the various parties concerned. The signing ceremony is complete. The war officially is over. The shooting scheduled to stop at 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time. The United States thus drops the curtain on the longest war in this country's history. All American troops to be out of North Vietnam, out of Vietnam, within 60 days. This is Russ Ward in New York. Charles Quinn and Don North reported from Paris. Alvin Rosenfeld from Washington. This has been an NBC News Hotline report. Stay tuned to this station for further Hotline reports and for NBC Monitor News on the Hour.
AFN News, halfway on your weekend world, compiled from the wires of the AP and UPI. As you have just heard, an NBC special broadcast from Paris, the second Vietnam peace signing ceremony has just ended. It was televised live by all three of America's major television networks and broadcast around the world on American Forces Radio and heard throughout Europe on AFN.
The North Vietnamese, the South Vietnamese, the U.S., and the Viet Cong earlier had signed another treaty. The treaties, both of them, end the longest war in U.S. history. With the signing of the second round of documents, the fighting itself will stop at 7 p.m. tonight, Eastern Standard Time. That's at 8 a.m. Saigon time and at 1 a.m. Central European time. Immediately after the second ceremony, the two sides will exchange lists of their military prisoners. The communists have agreed to account as fully as possible for the more than 1,300 U.S. servicemen listed as missing in action. A Pentagon spokesman disclosed yesterday that between 500 and 1,000 U.S. troops will be shifted from South Vietnam to Thailand instead of coming home after the ceasefire. They'll be assigned to search for those still missing, even in the words of the Pentagon spokesman, if it takes us years and years. American sources in Vietnam predict the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong may have seized control of some major areas by the time the ceasefire takes effect. Communist troops stormed into the provincial capital of Thay Nhan City today, northwest of Saigon. The government command says that the communist forces have been driven out of several surrounding hamlets, but it's acknowledged that they still hold two edges of Thay Nhan City. Thay Nhan is believed especially desirable to the communists because it lies near the Cambodian border and their military bases and supply depots across that border. Thay Nhan also is the headquarters of the Cao Dao, a major religious sect in Vietnam. The Associated Press reports that three Americans have died and 31 others have been wounded since a peace agreement was initialed 4 days ago in Paris.
It's 2 o'clock in Central Europe. This is your Sunday Weekend World. Today, Bob Fulton's medical report deals with the protection of your hearing. Hal Hill's Spotlight Country star, Berlin Husky. Jim Sampson will be talking with the rock group Crocodile live in Munich. The Joy Boys will attempt a little comedy. Mark White in Berlin talks with singer Roberto Blanco. Ed Tuma in Berlin also has a former overweight warrant officer with him. The subject, how to trim off a few of those unwanted pounds before you get trimmed out of the military. Stand by for your Weekend World. Now at the Central News Desk in Frankfurt, Jan Wood.
20 North Vietnamese delegates and one from the Viet Cong have arrived in Saigon. They'll be joined by officials of the U.S. and South Vietnam in a temporary military commission, which will hold its first meeting tomorrow to work out details of the American troop pullout. The group will be disbanded after withdrawal is completed in 60 days. Two American helicopter crewmen have been wounded by ground fire in South Vietnam's Central Highlands. They are the only American casualties known to have occurred after the ceasefire went into effect at 8 o'clock this morning, Saigon time. At least one American was killed in the few hours prior to the truce, but no details are available. Four U.S. crewmen are listed as missing in action after their planes went down yesterday in northernmost Quang Tri province. A South Korean battalion commander was killed on the central coast about 2 hours before the ceasefire in Vietnam began. He was the last of his countrymen to die in South Vietnam before the truce deadline. The officer was with a group of Korean troops inspecting a highway bridge that had been blown up by Viet Cong sappers during the night. The communist opened up with small arms and rocket fire, killing the South Korean colonel and wounding 9 other ROK soldiers. The Pentagon has released the names of 270 Americans held prisoner in North Vietnam. Other names will be released later today, as soon as next of kin have been notified. The names were turned over to the U.S. after yesterday's peace signing ceremony in Paris. Relatives say an Air Force pilot held in mainland China for more than 7 years has been informed that he'll be released shortly. The freeing of Major Philip Smith and another American pilot, Navy Lieutenant Robert Flynn, is expected within the next 60 days. Smith reportedly strayed over the Chinese border in 1965 while on a reconnaissance mission over North Vietnam. Flynn was shot down in 1968 near the North Vietnam-China border. This headline summary was compiled from the wires of the AP and UPI. I'm Jan Wood, AFN News, and now to Bob Meyer for Weekend World Music.